Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation 13:1. Last week we covered the first three verses and in depth, obviously. And we're going to just lead in as we pick up our study today by just reading with the summary kind of in mind. And it says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast, which we saw as a global leader, rising up out of the sea of all of humanity, a world leader." These are the things we spent so much time justifying, that interpretation, using Daniel in Revelation, rising up out of the sea, having seven heads, and from Revelation 17, being a succession of previous leaders, and pretty strong case for that. A lot of people see that. It's not perfectly clear, but it seems like being in a succession of previous leaders and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, he'll be a leader over a 10-nation global government, with each nation of that global government having a king slash governor. And on his head, a blasphemous name. It will be a blasphemous global government. It'll be just mockings and cursings of God. Probably, instead of the United Nations concerted effort against God, or something, it'll just be total blasphemy. Verse 2, "Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard," and putting Daniel 2 and Revelation 7 together, like we mentioned last week, that's Greece. "His feet were like the feet of a bear," which Daniel 2 and 7 was Medo-Persia, "and his mouth like the mouth of a lion," 2 and 7 of Daniel, Babylon. And so, in other words, he's like the three major world empires of Daniel chapter 2. Dictator, ruled by law, ruled by language and culture. The dragon, Satan, gave him, this man, his power, his throne, and great authority. So Satan himself will be elevating this man to the throne of world leadership. "And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast." So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And I wanted to emphasize one thing I didn't really emphasize last week. One of his heads, seven heads, and seven heads, like we went last week and defined the one view that it's seven different people that have been in charge over the years, and this beast, this final beast, is one of the seven and becomes the eighth. And so, in other words, again, there's an idea that some people have, and how can you argue with it, that it's actually going to be a revived human from the past, miraculously, and that had been a ruler before. And there's some people that say that. I don't know if it's true, but if you put the whole thing together, it can be. Or the other way it's explained, well, this, even though it's one of the seven heads, he's the head, and he gets his head wounded, but it says, and receives a deadly wound, because it says, "And I saw one of his heads, of the seven heads, as if it had been mortally wounded." So I taught before earlier that when the Antichrist goes in and commits the abomination of desolation, it's possible that he is killed, wounded right there, and then he comes back alive and the whole world sees it. But it's also possible that it's entailed in that is the fact that he comes back from the past. And the possibility of cloning, they're already talking about some of this mammoth, these mammoth finds, they've gotten DNA, and they're talking about cloning a mammoth and bringing a mammoth back. And if they brought a mammoth back, they'd be bringing a mammoth back from thousands of years ago. It was frozen in the tundra, in the Arctic, and they would put it inside of an elephant, a fertilized egg with mammoth DNA, and an elephant would have a mammoth, and we'd have mammoths on the world again. And which, if you could have seen, gotten a picture of the mammoth they cloned it from, it would look exactly the same. It would be the same DNA. And so if they were to get the DNA of somebody and be able to clone a human being and make it, and the world could say, "Whoa, how did this guy come back? What, this Caesar came back, or this Nebuchadnezzar came back, or Cyrus, somebody came back from the past." It could be a situation like that in the future. And it's hard to discern from the scriptures, but people have all these kind of ideas. If you go out and study, you're going to get all those different ideas. And again, I know less now than I did when I first started studying, because when I first started studying, I only knew what I had been taught. And I knew that that person taught me the truth, and I know that's got to be it. But then you start hearing these other things, and you go, well, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. We can't know perfectly now. Just like the disciples didn't know perfectly how all the scriptures pertaining to the coming of Jesus were going to be exactly fulfilled until he fulfilled them. That's when they knew. Because they're sitting there, even when he's risen from the dead, they go, oh, now we figure out what Isaiah 53 meant. Now we understand what it meant for Isaiah 53 and this other thing to happen. And then while he's getting ready to ascend to heaven, they still don't have the timing right. And so it takes truly being there. But I just wanted you to be aware of the different thoughts here as we go through. So they worship the dragon. And there's no doubt there, the inhabitants of the world will be worshiping Satan, who gave authority to the beast. And they, this is the fallen world, the non-names written in the Book of Life, as we're going to see, they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Satan is going to give the power to this man in a way that the whole world realizes you cannot make war with him. And if you're interested in the powers of Satan and demons, then I'd encourage you again to go to our website, calvarypo.org, click on the YouTube link, scroll down to our video of my interview with Robert in Sudan, who did a master's paper at his university in Africa on Joseph Kony, who was the leader of the LRA, Lord's Resistance Army, and a demoniac who had incredible satanic power to create this Lord's Resistance Army of kid murderers, and he goes into villages and would wipe out the people, get the children to kill their parents, and then take the kids and turn them into youth murderers. And there's been movies made about it and everything. And when I was in Nimili, Sudan, many years ago, his band of terrorists came into Nimili and shot up the town and killed some people, hauled a boy off, and I went and interviewed the doctor that saved one of the girls' lives. She and her mom and her sister and her brother had gone outside of their tukul, which is their home, were laying in mats because it was such a hot night, hot even by African standards. In fact, so hot I could hardly sleep that night, and just went by and just strafed the family. Took the boy away first, strafed the girls, the women and the girls. One girl was killed, the mom was killed, and the daughter was just had bullet wounds in her head, in her leg and arm, and they kept her alive, the doctors did. But that was the Lord's Resistance Army, kids coming in, kids trained to kill and be murderous. And the head of that group is this guy, and I'm going to make sure you can look it up, Joseph Kony, K-O-N-Y. And listen to the interview. I interviewed him on tape because the previous visits I had with Robert, when he was telling me things, I said, nobody's going to believe that he even told me this, so I got to video it so I can take it back. And you can listen to the video of eyewitness accounts of this demonic power this guy has. The Ugandan government sent their army to go kill him and his followers, and they were unable to do so because of demonic powers. And the world is going to stand in amazement when the Antichrist comes. He's got the demonic power of Satan himself. And think about Job, when Satan wanted to destroy Job. And as soon as God says, you can take everything he has, but you can't hurt him. And all of a sudden, a wind blows down his kid's house and kills them all. And he stirs up marauding bands of warriors to come and take all of his wealth, and et cetera, et cetera. And even when Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples and he's sleeping in the back and the disciples wake him up, Jesus, Jesus, don't you see we're perishing? And he gets up and what does he do? He rebukes the wind. The wind was Satan. He was rebuking the fact that Satan was stirring up the Sea of Galilee. The whole sea is churning up to go kill Jesus and the disciples. I'll teach you. And Jesus goes, oh, you know, oh, it's just Satan throwing a fit again. And then rebuking him. But Satan's going to be unleashed. He's going to be able to do a lot more and stir up the Sea of Galilee, and he's going to know what everybody's trying to do to deal with his Antichrist. And no one will be able to make war with the Antichrist. Somebody says, I'm going to assassinate that guy. I know who he is. Good luck. Satan's going to know the second you're planning, and no one is going to be able to make war with him. He's going to be able to stay for 42 months, as verse 5 says. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and was given authority to continue for 42 months. Who gave him the authority to continue for 42 months? God. God himself gave him the authority. Okay, dude, you got 42 months from the middle part of the tribulation. 42 months is 3.5 years. So 3.5 years, all of a sudden Satan comes, gives him the authority, power. He's head man of the world, complete demanding worship, as we're going to see. And God says, he's got 3.5 years. And then I'm going to come put an end to him. And everybody that wants to take his mark, and really God is just saying, go ahead. Tell the people, take your name or die, and we'll see who wants to go to heaven. The ones that want to die, they get to go to heaven. The ones that want to follow you, worship you, that means they'd hate being in heaven with me. So go ahead, let's sift the world. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, and blasphemous name, Jesus, his tabernacle, heaven, and those who dwell in heaven. So the Antichrist is going to be cursing us. He's going to be cursing Jesus. He's going to be cursing everybody in heaven. And they're very vocal in his hatred of God, Jews, Christians, angels, and God. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Who is that? Every single soul on the planet. And what does the Bible say? It was granted to him. By who? Who grants it to the Antichrist to make war with the saints? It's God. And to overcome them. Who allows him to overcome them? It's God. But he doesn't. He only overcomes them in the ability to kill them. He doesn't overcome them in the ability to destroy their soul, because we're holding on to, you know, the tribulation saints, the people that will be forced into the tribulation period because they rejected Jesus before the rapture. They're going to be dying for their faith. It's clear here in Scripture, there's nothing left at the end of the tribulation. There's no believers to rapture. And again, I'd encourage you to go to Daniel chapter 7, 25 to 28, and you'll see it's in a perfect parallel to this section of Revelation, where Daniel is told this pompous speaking man is going to be able to, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. The Antichrist, I think, is going to get rid of the calendar because it alludes to Jesus. It'll make a global decree. From now on, we started a calendar when Jesus came. Well, guess what? I'm the new Jesus. And he'll start a new calendar. I'm on that, you know, we're starting at year zero. And next year, it's going to be year one. And anybody that doesn't like that calendar, we find somebody with the calendar that's attributed to Jesus, then we're going to kill you. Whatever, he's going to change the times and the law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. Times, one, times, two, and half a time. Another way of saying 3.5 years. A perfect parallel to Revelation chapter 13 in Daniel chapter 7. So every single tribe, tongue, and nation, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, Jesus, slain from the foundation of the world. And so most in the world will have no problem with bowing down to this man, to the image of the man, taking his name, we're going to find out soon, in his hand or their forehead. Most people in the world will not have a problem with doing that. And they will worship this man, which in doing so, they'll be worshiping Satan. They will be the people that just love the party atmosphere that he brings to the world. We already have a president that has supported immorality, supports drug use, supports everything evil. And the Antichrist is going to make him look like a beginner. He's going to be, and the world is going to be going, wow, free drugs, free immorality. Just completely embrace. He's going to be embracing everything. The world's going to, the flesh-loving world will be joining. But the people that agonize over what has happened will be fighting it, because their name, Jesus sees your name written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. He knows, he knew you were going to come to Jesus. And everybody that is going to come to Jesus will not be worshiping him. They will be refusing to. And in doing so, they will be killed. Verse 9, if anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. Do we all hear that? We want to hear and trust and obey. And even like our announcement time, talking about the Christians that are suffering persecution over the same-sex marriage laws that are sweeping the country. Again, that's small potato stuff. What's going to be coming is the whole world worshiping this guy, and those future tribulation saints, they're going to be saying, no, I won't. And their friends, their neighbors, their families, everybody that knows them is going to turn them in and say, kill this guy, because he is not going along with the New World Order of the Antichrist. And so those who have an ear to hear will hear, but they'll lose their life. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Jeremiah said the same thing when he was talking about judgment coming to Israel. He says, when he comes, when Babylon comes, when the Nebuchadnezzar comes to judge the world in Jeremiah's day, when he comes, he shall strike the land of Egypt and deliver to death those appointed for death, into captivity those appointed for captivity, and to the sword those appointed for the sword. So he was warning the Jews at the end of at the end of Jeremiah 43, Babylon's already destroyed Jerusalem, and Jeremiah's saying, just stay here. And they're saying, no, we're going to run to Egypt and get away. We're going to get away from the Antichrist of their day. And Jeremiah says, oh, really? You think you're going to run? This is what Babylon is going to do to you. He's going to strike Egypt, and you're going to go to death. Captivity to captivity to sword. For those that are going to be, you're going to be locked up or killed. You're not going to get away. And what the Bible is saying in Revelation is, you're either going to be jailed or you're going to be killed with the sword. You are going to be rounded up if you don't go along with the Antichrist. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. The Antichrist come out of the sea, the humanity of the world. This one comes out of the earth, and there's various different views of why there's that difference. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And looked innocent, but also spoke blasphemy like the devil. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his, Satan's beast's presence. So in other words, this guy is going to have all the same demonic powers the Antichrist has. He's going to be full of witchcraft. And causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now Revelation 16:13 makes it clear this guy is the false prophet. So the Bible calls the Antichrist and the false prophet. And this guy, Satan raises up to basically be the one to say, follow him. What is that like? So what does this guy become? He becomes like John the Baptist. See, what we're going to see through Revelation is everything, Satan twists everything completely around. John the Baptist was saying, follow him, worship him. I'm not even worthy to take his sandals off. He's the one. I must decrease, he must increase. The false prophet is going to be like John the Baptist in Satan's little 3.5 year time on earth. Every person on earth will be affected by this man's ministry. He performs great signs, verse 13, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, we covered this earlier in our study, but who is this like? It's like Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 1, where he was able to call fire down. And they'll be able to say, who can do this? Who can just call fire down? Read your Bibles, Elijah. We're from God. You worship us. You know, it's kind of like how Joseph Smith was deceived by Satan to say, oh, those Christians got it all wrong about Jesus being God and his Bible and everything. Trash that. They've so polluted that. Here's the new truth that Joseph Smith came with. And what the devil is going to do through the Antichrist is convince the world, oh yeah, yeah, Christianity, all that stuff, all the religions, they've all messed up, because really here is the Messiah. The real Messiah is the Antichrist here. He's going to give you a big party and everything. And he's going to, and look at these great signs. How could we do this except for being the power of God? And I remember when I got roped up in the New Age movement as a kid, many of the arguments used by the people with psychic phenomena and everything else going on around me is, this is truly power. How could it not be from God? And I was saying, yeah, I mean, it's not natural power that I'm seeing, so it must be from God. That'll be what the devil is going to be doing through the Antichrist and the false prophet. And he deceives those who dwell, verse 14, on the earth by those signs which he was granted by God. God is now allowing Satan to show this power through his two men on the ground, has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And, you know, this very famous section of Scripture, even there was a time where even most non-believers knew what it said. Now that people don't know anything about the Bible, it's getting to the point where people don't know these things. But there's going to be an image of the beast. It could be a literal image being made. I don't want to detract from the fact that literally somebody could make an image of the beast that all of a sudden starts talking. Imagine a wooden image that starts talking. That'd be pretty miraculous, wouldn't it? Could it happen? Sure. I mean, look at Pharaoh's magicians that were able to throw down their staffs and they became snakes. And only they were eaten by Moses' snake. I mean, that's pretty powerful. And this is what Seiss, an 1800s commentator, says about this. He says, the unbelieving may laugh and sneer and say it is nonsense and impossibility. And so indeed it may be to them and their power. See, we could never do that. There's no way we could make a wooden image speak. But of old, this is what he goes on to say, but of old it was written, woe to him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. That's out of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 19. And here is the man who does it. So finally, what Habakkuk says, woe to the man who speaks and it answers, it says something. He says, and here's the man that actually does it. For thus it stands recorded in Revelation of God. And when it comes to pass, people will be only the more carried away by it because of their previous unbelief of the possibility of anything of that sort. So now I said before, and it could be true how it's fulfilled. It could be big screen TVs all around the world. And the Antichrist is working through the production organizations of world media and getting the Antichrist up there. And what John is seeing is an image of the beast that is both speaking and talking and demanding in coliseums and stadiums around the world. Okay, this is the deal. I'm the new world leader. You can't go against me. And you in this coliseum, in this stadium, you bow down right now and worship me as your new world leader. And if you do, then you will be, as you're processed outside of the stadium, you will be receiving a tattoo of my name in your hand or your forehead. And if you receive that tattoo of my name in your hand or your forehead, then we will not be turning off your chip electronic system that's been allowing you to buy or sell for these years that we have been experiencing that with the new economic system since the great collapse of whatever the year is going to be. But if you don't bow, there are scattered throughout the stadium various security personnel who realize that you're a threat to the state and the continuity of power of our peaceful government that we're establishing. And you'll be rounded up. I'll be fine. You can just leave and come over here to this exit. And you will not be allowed to any more transfer funds electronically through your chip, embedded chip. And you will not receive the name and you will be executed. So it could happen, couldn't it? And other people speculate that it's going to be a holograms, you know, that he's going to actually use holographic images that are transported. And those are real. There was a recent holographic message given by the Turkish president to his parliament where he was holographically projected into the stage to talk because he couldn't be there. It's a capability today. I don't know how it's going to be fulfilled, but this is how Seiss concludes. As God's word is true, And heaven and earth will sooner pass away than one jot or tittle of it go unfulfilled. This thing will be done. The world is going to see it happen one way or another. They're going to be seeing all the inhabitants of the world being forced to bow or die around the world. And anybody that doesn't show up to bow is going to be hunted down. And they're going to have the, and we already see the tracking technologies, etc., are fully capable of finding every single human being that's trying to hide. There is no hiding in this world today. And even military people admit that. I mean, you cannot hide long in this world. And as soon as the global financial system comes that tracks everything that you buy or sell, how in the world would you be able to hide? Thermal imagery that can, you know, I know as a fact that when we were hunting for the Taliban in the Tora Bora caves, we were using satellites. A friend of mine was working for a private company that had put up a satellite to help farmers be able to know what kind of pesticide to use by how many and what kind of bugs were eating their crops. And the way they knew what kind of, how many and what kind of bugs was by the thermal imagery of the bugs. And so then when the war started in Afghanistan, that technology was so sensitive, the military said, we'll let you put that satellite up as provided we can commandeer it for national defense efforts should the need arise. And so they commandeered it. All of a sudden he's working for the military again. And they can tell if somebody's in a cave by the heat signature that comes out of the air vent holes. And that's how they're, oh, there's people in that cave. Bam, that cave, bam, that cave, bam. If they want to, they can find you anywhere as long as you're breathing and creating the heat in the air that goes up out of a cave hole. We're gone. It's so clear we're gone. The church is not here for this. This is for left behind people. Verse 16, he, the false prophet, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead. One more time, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 3. I want to show you how what he's doing, what this false prophet is going to do is say, I'm going to put a mark in your hand or your forehead. And that shows your allegiance to the Antichrist. And what did Ezekiel, we've already covered this earlier in Revelation, but it's worth a reminder here for those that might not have been there, Ezekiel 9:3. This is just before judgment comes upon the Jews in Jerusalem. Ezekiel, it sees a vision, and now the glory of God of Israel had gone up from the cherub. God is now leaving the temple there in Jerusalem and getting ready to allow the Babylonians to come in and destroy it, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen, this angelic man clothed with linen, who had a writer's inkhorn on his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the forehead of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. Everybody here in Jerusalem that's not in the party spirit of all the idol worshiping and everything else that's been going on, the immorality and all the false religious garbage that's in this city, everybody that agonizes every time they see a same-sex marriage scene going on, every time they see adultery, every time they see fornication glorified, every time they see the pollution of this world and the child abductions, when they grieve over all that stuff, see, that's what was happening then. Then mark them, because they actually love me. They love my law. Mark them on their forehead. Go through and midst and mark them on the forehead for the people that sigh over this stuff. To the others that don't sigh, he said in my hearing, go after them, go after him through the city and kill, and do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Because it was really symbolic of Babylon is going to be wiping out, and God is somehow sparing the ones that agonized. When Babylon came in, some of the survivors are going to be those that were marked by God. Going back to Revelation 13:16, look at what these guys are doing. It says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand and the forehead. Those who love the evil are allowed to live. See, if you're bowing to the Antichrist and you're receiving a mark, you're just loving his evil. You're one of those that are worshiping Satan, because Satan gives the power to the Antichrist to give the party spirit to the world. So it's in the same way that mark those that love God. Now Satan is going, mark those that love me. Mark those that love Satan. And that no one would be able to buy or sell except one has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So now what's happening with God in Ezekiel? Mark the ones that love me, that agonize over the evil, and kill all the rest. What does Satan do? Mark all those who love the party spirit, love the devil, love Satan, and what? And kill all the rest. Isn't it amazing how this last 3.5 years, the whole world gets to experience Satan being in charge instead of God being in charge, because that's what the world wanted. And everything gets turned completely around. So the only way he could make it so that they could control everybody that buys or sells, there has to be a global economy. And, oh, I forgot there's a... did I forget? No, I didn't. There has to be a global economy. I could rattle off a dozen names of financial bigwigs that are all saying our economy's collapsing. Greece is in the news again today because they did. They officially now told the Germans, you need to pay us back. We're broke. And their finance minister has admitted to Europe, there is absolutely no way we can pay back. We are so broke, we cannot pay back. And you Germans, you came in here with your Nazi people and you came in and you destroyed our infrastructure and stuff to the tune of billions of dollars. And you owe us back. And Germany's saying, we cut a deal with you years ago that got rid of all payments. You know, everything was done. We're settled. And Greece is saying, well, that was before you reunified. Now that Germany's reunified, we want to cut another deal. And Germany, the German population is freaking out at Greece. And Greece had just admitted today, and it's front page news in the German papers, because the Germans are the ones that are most on the hook for the money that's been lent out. It's Germans who have invested in the Greek bonds and other bonds that they're going to lose everything. And Greece is today admitting they're not going to pay them back. And many people have speculated that as soon as this domino goes over and the rest of the dominoes of Europe go over and everything else, and we're in such trouble and stuff is going to go on, this system is going to collapse. And there's going to be a new system. And many are speculating on what that new system is going to be. But headline March 9th, Monday, 2 days ago, 2015, companies begin planting microchips under employees' skin. And this has been going on for years, but now it's being celebrated. There's people lining up to do it. I don't have to do passwords to my computer. I can walk into my house and my chip opens doors and everything else, and garage door openers and everything. It can do everything. And they're lining up. They want to do it, and it would be so easy for an electronic system. And come October of this year, all credit card companies are supposed to come up with some kind of better biometric system so the point of sale cannot be hacked, which has been happening to Target, Neiman Marcus, all those other things. Millions, over 100 million cards have been compromised all that stuff. And so the system, the economic system, says there must be a biometric system. And I just got a new card, told me it's a chip card. And all the point of sales are going to be updated. They don't say when, but the law is October this year, 2015. Whoever's the weak link, the next time something gets hacked, they're the ones that pay instead of the banks. And so the world is getting to the point where a global economic system is going to be birthed. And which means it's going to be ready for the Antichrist. So it must mean we're getting close. We're getting close to this man to come on the scene, because the literal fulfillment of these texts that are 2,000 years old, 1,900 years old, are for the first time in history, the infrastructure to fulfill them is here for the first time in 1,900 years since they were written. And so it's exciting times. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And Hebrew language is alphanumeric. The letters are also equal to numbers. The numbering system uses letters. And so we are warned that when you take the Antichrist name and you put it in Hebrew or Greek, some people say it'll be Greek, I think it'll be Hebrew, then you'll be able to look at those letters, and those letters will add up to the number of 666. And that's how we'll know who, you know, the world then. We won't know, because we'll be in heaven with God, celebrating. But the inhabitants of the world who worry about, who know the Word of God, what the Word of God says, they'll go, oh, this is the man, and this Bible, 1900 years ago, God said to me, if I would have wisdom, let me understand. He gave me this name of this guy, the number of his name, so I would know this is God. Because the deceptions of the world through Satan and the Antichrist are going to be so extreme that people every day are going to be arguing, why are you going to take the mark? Well, because I have to survive. But don't you understand? God has said, he's going to say, yeah, I don't, God, the Bible, everybody discarded that. Yeah, they burned all the Bibles, didn't they? How did you know that? Well, how does it, look at his name written in Hebrews 666. Doesn't that bother you? That Bible that you burned, it did say that. The whole world knew it said that. And yet that's his name. Don't you, well, I need to eat with my family. Well, don't you want to live for everlasting life? Are you going to really worship this man who worships Satan and takes his power from Satan? Are you going to do, there's going to be those kind of discussions happening all over the world. Because God left this nugget here for them to understand. And some people are going to turn to faith in God. And in doing so, they'll lose their head. But they'll rejoice that they've done so because they'll gain everlasting life because they refuse to worship Satan and instead worship God. And that's what we're being called to do. The world today is worshiping Satan or God. They don't know it. They're not bowing to him. But they're either serving the world, serving the devil, or they're serving God. And that's what we're doing. And we might lose our life someday, even before the rapture, but it's going to be okay because we're going to have everlasting life. It's the same message to us as we would give to them. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these warnings, Lord, that you gave us many centuries ago so that we would know that you alone are God. And as we even see these technologies springing up before our eyes, things that people were talking about decades ago, that someday it would have to happen. And now we see that it's national, international news, that chipping is going on, financial need for everybody to be in an economic system, a global economy is all talked about on a global scale. And we know that someday that system is going to fall prey to the Antichrist, who will use it to become the greatest mass murderer the world has ever seen. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, that before that day comes, that you would help us to witness to the lost and deceived of this world in this time, generation of the church, so that they could be part of the church and be spared of this time of evil that is coming. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that teaches us all things and gives us the wisdom to know that your word is true. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
Jesus is my Lord, my Master and Savior. Jesus is my Lord, my Master and Savior. Jesus is my Lord, my Master and Savior. Now and forevermore, alleluia. Now and forevermore. Praise you, Jesus, Son of God, in the blood of the Lamb, King of kings and Lord of lords, God of Abraham, alleluia, God of Abraham. Jesus is the one who delivers me daily. Jesus is the one who delivers me daily. Jesus is the one who delivers me daily from my sin and shame. Alleluia, from my sin and shame. Praise you, Jesus, Son of God, and the blood of the Lamb, King of kings and Lord of lords, God of Abraham, alleluia, God of Abraham. Praise you, Jesus, Son of God, and the blood of the Lamb, King of kings and Lord of Lords, God of Abraham, hallelujah, God of Abraham.
He's the only God. He's the God of the Bible, not the God of Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, or any of those guys. He's the real God. And all glory and power be to Him, because we're going to go be with Him. And He's done a lot to send Jesus to save us. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in His care this week.